You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
While it's true that some people in the Pacific are choosing to or are forced to leave their homes and land because of climate change, others are staying, says Dr. Dalila Garbawi, a researcher at University of Canterbury. Dr. Garbawi's research looks at understanding the whole picture and raising awareness on the impacts of climate change, as well as what we need to do for the future survival of our planet. Jo spoke with Dr. Garbawi about her work, looking at the neglected category of people that are either trapped or not willing to move to adapt to climate change in the Pacific. He started off by asking her about her research.
Yeah, so my research looked at the impacts of climate change on people, and more specifically how people are forced to adapt to climate change by moving to safer grounds. So after spending some time in the region, in the Pacific, I've been realizing that, of course, moving was an issue, but there was another category of population that was not looked into, and that was the people that were not able to move, those people that would be trapped in high-risk zones. And this was something overlooked in policy and research. So, those people are actually going to be the most vulnerable category of population in regards to climate change impact in the region.
Now, you've also mentioned that people need the option to stay with dignity, those being those people in these communities as well.
Yeah, that's right. So former president of Kiribati, Anote Song, has been raising awareness by talking at the table of climate negotiation about the principle of moving with dignity. And it was very useful in raising awareness about the issue of climate refugees, for example. But what I've realized after spending years looking at climate mobility is that, in fact, we need to also push forward narratives and legislation around staying with dignity. And this was an important narrative that was not really considered so far. And this would actually reflect the needs of the most vulnerable people that did not have the capacity to move, but also these people that did not wish to move because they have strong attachment to their land. And in the Pacific, this is a really important issue, and it's the case in any place that has an indigenous population. Land is part of people's belonging. It's part of people's identity. It's not possible to separate people from their land. So all these different categories of population are not included in discussion on climate mobility when it comes to the impact of climate change.
Now, you also believe that there's a huge knowledge gap about those most vulnerable communities who are either forced to stay or want to stay despite the challenges of climate change. So could you just touch on this a bit? What are some of these communities faced with?
Yeah, so there is a huge knowledge gap. So these communities are really those people that are in high-risk zones in the Pacific. For instance, when I went to do my research in Matavalu village in Fiji, I realized that most of the village was actually not going to be able to move to safer grounds. And this was for a series of reasons, but that created eventually tensions with the people that were able to move. And all those tensions are not really considered in policymaking. I think we need to look at the big picture, but also go more into details on what mobility means. Mobility is not only about moving, it's also about all those people that are left behind. And we are likely to have these issues in New Zealand as well. We have a huge community here and that will be in coastal zones. And the last week, actually, we had the New Zealand first national adaptation plan that came out. And so it's very important that we don't overlook that category of population. We have actually an opportunity here in New Zealand to look at both Maori and Pacifica perspective on these issues, as they have ancestral knowledge around resilience to nature. And this can actually teach us a lot. So all those examples of resilience that I've been looking at in the Pacific are really informative to deal with the issue here in New Zealand. And the category of trapped population is also something that should be looked at more closely by decision makers.
Now, you also mentioned raising awareness on the impacts of climate change is obviously very important, but it can be counterproductive if all the focus is on these alarmist, you know, climate change is obviously negatively affecting the world. However, this can lead to paralyzing fear. going back to when you mentioned a focus, what should the focus be on in regards to these communities and how we can, how they can adapt, and if they do want to stay, how we can support them?
I think it's really important that we shift the way we talk and tackle climate change by focusing on the resilience and opportunities to improve our societies rather than focusing on alarmist talks. So yes, there will be loss. We need to understand the whole picture, understand the extent of the loss. This is extremely important, but it is not only about what we are potentially losing. It is also what we will gain from adapting to climate change. So we really need to move away from alarmist talks and focus on opportunities. I think people need hope, and I believe that it might really help to engage more on these issues in the future by looking at examples of resilience. And for example, the Pacific region is leading in terms of resilience. They have so many ancestral knowledge and so many examples of successful resilience to extreme environmental events. So this is something that we should be focusing on more. And I think this is really important to give hope to people.
Those in the Pacific have such rich systems and, like you said, knowledge and a deep understanding of how their ancestors have been dealing with environmental impacts and their adaptation to extreme environments. So do you think that's a great place to start?
Yeah, I think that's really important that we listen to those communities that have been facing the issues of extreme environmental events for generations. I think that's really important to start from a place of, like starting in a place where we just learn from them and we listen to their stories. Attachment to place and space is really a central part of their being in the Pacific. And this is something that has been addressed all through their history. And acknowledging that strong link with the land and the way they've been dealing with loss of land is something that we can learn from. And the link that this has with the Maori vision of the world is also very important, because it can also inform policies here in New Zealand. And I think it's an opportunity we have here that we sit and listen to those stories.
It says here that you're interested in exploring how indigenous concepts from the Pacific could be applied to other regions. You know, countries such as Aotearoa are currently developing its first national adaption and managed retreat plan.
I think we have an opportunity here in New Zealand that the Treaty of Waitangi obligations, an arrangement between Maori and the Crown, require that policy development and policy response must involve iwi, apu and Maori, and acknowledge also the link that Maori have with Pacific people. And I think this is really important, and it's an opportunity for us to look at example of resilience that can inform us on how to deal with the issue of climate change through an indigenous scope. I think that the National Adaptation Plan has some really interesting grounds that are putting that perspective on future adaptation, but I think it can be reinforced. There's more that can be done, and I really think that working together through a partnership between Maori and Pacifica is actually something that could be really useful in future. And and also it would be interesting to look at ways we can frame that by providing this knowledge back to the people, and this is something that actually people are keen to hear about. How can this be linked to them on a daily basis? So there's lots of hope, there's lots to do, and the base is there. So there's already a lot of interesting framing in the current national adaptation plans, but definitely more can be done.
That was Joe speaking to Dr. Dalila Gabawi, a researcher at the University of Canterbury, about residents of the Pacific Islands choosing to stay with dignity in the face of climate change.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.